Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. Today on the show, we've got Milk.
Or more precisely, Stuart Milk, the nephew of Harvey Milk.
And music.
Well, not just music, but also the Music Hall Tavern, who are about to start their UK tour.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out.
Hello.
Good evening.
Howdy.
Hello. So what's the matter?
I can hear you in real life, but I can't hear you over the magic of the radio headphones.
Oh,
and it's so magical.
But it's not a problem because we're
How's
in the same
that?
Room.
How's that? Is that
distorted?
Oh, is it? Oh. I love being in the new studio. How many weeks have we been doing this now? We still
I
can't get
know.
It right.
Have you
twiddled your volume knob? Is it
knobs are getting well and truly twiddled.
Would you like another pair of headphones?
I'm sure Lucy prefers sliders, don't you, my love?
I'll fight through.
There you go. Try those. Now I'm sorry to kick off with a sad note while you guys are busy playing with your volume levels, but it's been a bit of a week of people passing away, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. First of all, we had Ed Stewart, then David Bowie, and yes. of course Alan Rickman today.
I know. Yes.
Yeah, very sad.
Yes. The kids will certainly know Alan Rickman as Snape, Professor Snape
yes.
from Harry Potter. But those are my age. You'll also
and
remember
he was
him from
in Love Actually, and of course
Die Hard.
Yeah, Die Hard.
He's Hans Gruber. He's the best villain ever.
Yes. He yes. plays villains so well, doesn't he? Because you like him. He's like the lovable rogue.
Well, it was the whole thing with Snape, wasn't it? You didn't know whether he was a good guy or a bad guy, and no. he just played the part so well.
He was your go-to villain. Yeah.
But of course, I don't know what your Facebook was like, but mine went mental when David Bowie passed away.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
he had such an influence. I didn't realise he came out as bisexual in something like 1972.
Yeah, it was in the 70s because he created the character Ziggy Stardust, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was an androgynous, gender-free alien. But he used to cross-dress and he didn't care. And for the 70s, that was quite big.
Well, he pretty much created a new persona every year. And
he did, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he did.
Well, homosexuality wasn't decriminalised till 76.
No.
So, I mean, it was pre that.
Yeah. Yeah,
And I didn't realise what an internet pioneer he was as well. Way before we had, like, Napster and Spotify and all that, he was making a website that had, you know, links to the band and loads of info and tracks that were just for you if you joined online, and you could even get an @davidbowie.com address.
Didn't know that.
Didn't you? No,
wow.
I didn't either.
Is the website still up and going?
Yeah, it's still there. Still there.
What was your first David Bowie single? Did you ever buy a single
of
David? No?
No. Before
your time. You're a youngster, aren't you?
A bit before my 90s. Time.
I have the original Space Oddity.
1990, I was only 12.
Ah, okay.
So it was, 1980, I was 2.
Yeah, well, that was my Space Odyssey was my.
I wasn't like
40
something like you. It was
really. Oh, you're going to get a slap. I might be on mic 5, but mic 1 is very close.
So no, sorry. You were saying which one was yours?
Space Oddity. That was what I've still got the original when it first came out. The 7-inch vinyl.
Wow.
I've got a really special tribute to David Bowie coming up towards the end of the show.
Oh, is that the piano?
Yeah, it's done by Postmodern Jukebox.
Yeah.
Who we played an awful lot of their stuff on the show because we love them to bits. And of course, Ivan's even interviewed one of the ladies that sings with them.
Yeah, well, it was Ivan who brought that to my attention, that piano version of Space Oddity. It's lovely.
But it's Scott, I forget what his surname is, it's Scott something or other. We'll ask Ivan what he's in later. Mm. But the guy actually just played a piano tribute, especially to David Bowie. And
it's a beautiful piece.
Yeah. And we'll play that towards the end, we thought, because I know that Mary wants to come in and talk about it later as well. Mm. And she's also got some news for us. She chatted at me as I was running into the studio, but there's a tribute coming up this weekend on Martin Spalacy's show. Which is a nostalgia show. You can check out the times at bcfmradio.com. And if you have a look at the schedule, it'll tell you when it's on. We'll look it up as well. I'll get Mary to come in and talk about it towards the end because she knows more about it. So
also in the news, lots about transgender because the MP's report was out, wasn't it?
Yes.
And so a lot on it seems the news channels today.
Yes. Yeah. Well, BBC News seems to be it's like well, mainstream well, yeah. story at the moment.
Also, the recommendation that children should be legally allowed to change their gender at 16 as
yes.
opposed to 18.
Yeah. Well, there was a six-year-old on. A six-year-old this morning on BBC Breakfast News.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But obviously, hormone blockers aren't allowed in this country.
Are they not?
Right. So you still have to go through puberty and then...
No, you can have hormone blockers, but you're not allowed them too young.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, six is probably too young.
It is. Too, yeah. Well, you don't need them then because you don't need probably 10 or 11 but it's much easier to get in the States than the UK.
Yeah,
but it's good that it's becoming the focus here.
It was a good piece this morning on the BBC. They did it well. They had the woman who runs Mermaids and her daughter who's now 22 who realised that she didn't want to be a little boy at 6 and wondered why she wasn't like her mum or her sister. And
must be very confusing at that age.
I was at 4 and you were confused as hell because
I mean it's confusing enough when it's just your sexuality. I mean like you know coming to terms of being gay was a weird thing. I wanted to be like all my mates and like the girls when I was a lot younger. But I can't imagine it when it's actually your physical sex as well.
You go through sort of bullying and the teacher telling you off for wanting to play dress up
Anyway, sorry, we're digressing because we're not doing a show about trans stuff today, are we?
It's
very, very different. So.
It's Lucy!
Yes, let's get some events. So, Outshout then, our pick of the best events coming up. We're going quite
week.
A bit into the future as well with some of this, but what's our big one you've got? Let's talk about this week
and let's talk about the big one.
Cool.
Because we can do that. This is Monday the 18th. It's apparently said to be the most depressing day of the year.
So I remember this last year.
Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, that's it.
Remember Pennywise, the organisation, they've come into the show a couple of times. They came in for Christmas, didn't they?
Yeah,
they were here quite recently. Yeah. Anyway, well, they've got together with a whole host of agencies, with Bristol City Council, the Citizens Advice Bureau, the Cash Pointers, and the City Council Ways to Work Network, and they're doing a blues-busting event in the galleries on Monday the 18th of January from 10 o'clock. Yeah, it's pretty much a one-stop shop, really. So whatever might be getting to you in this time of year, and it could be money related stuff, it could be stress, it could be general housing issues, it could be your health.
It's that time of year. It's post Christmas and New Year.
Everything.
You've had all the fun, and then you've got this big long wait until it gets warm again.
Yeah. But it's funny that one day seems to be systematic with everyone getting depressed.
Well, it's supposed to be the worst, isn't it?
Yes.
Not the only.
But it's really odd, isn't it? There's a huge dip.
Do you think people are just in denial for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden it just all comes crashing down?
So I'm guessing there are some people who are still away on holiday and the like, aren't they? And they'll be like first day back.
Or it's when the credit card bills start hitting.
Yes.
And of course, you've gone quite a bit with the pay gap because most people get paid before Christmas.
So you've
got all that.
Stretching your expenses.
On a plus note, it might snow on Monday, which would be nice.
Well, yeah.
If you like snow.
If you like snow. You can afford to heat your house and your Blue Monday isn't getting you to you. I'm getting a bit down here. But
snow and think Dickens.
It's those kind of issues. Like those kind of issues are something that are going to get looked at on this event. You know, money, housing, benefits, physical and mental health, getting into work, volunteering, you name it. There are a whole host of organisations and it's basically going to be a one-stop retune of your life.
Cool.
You know.
And now it's worth pointing out, of course, because they were on the show talking about it in quite a lot of depth. The podcast is still up on our website. So if you missed it and you want to catch it again, or you perhaps want to listen again as well because you can't get down to the shop or whatever, go and check it out on our website. It was just before Christmas, I think, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was sort of early December. But it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, you know, there's a few more lighthearted things there going. There's cookery demonstrations. There's a bit of live music. And there's some games and competitions running throughout the day. So it's not seriously all grim and serious business.
Cookery demo. Can you cook?
A bit of a lighthearted day.
Cook?
I can, yes.
You can. Are you a good cook?
I'm more of a feel my way through the recipe, realise that I've done something wrong and I make something completely different to what I was intending to make. So I don't think that's good cooking. I think that's just instinctive food heating.
Right. Can and bake beans on the radio like we did at uni.
I'm pretty good at opening a fridge and going, I have to make a meal. But yeah.
Now, you want to point out some stuff that's coming out a fair way off as well.
So January, nothing's happening apart from going to, just to be aware that, you know, there's quite a few LGBT musicians in and around there who have got tours coming out later this year. So if you want to sort of program in their concerts, because some of them are coming to the Southwest. However, tickets are going fast, so I suggest you look at booking tickets now. Details are on our website, but, you know, Lucy Spraggan, she's done a couple of the voiceovers.
Yes. Yeah.
So she's coming to Gloucester Guildhall in March, and that's part of her UK tour, but it is selling out quickly, so
right.
Get on there. Details on the website. Another band as well, Years and Years, they won the BBC 2015, Sound of 2015 Award this time a year ago.
Yes.
They've got a tour coming to Bournemouth and Swindon Leisure Centre in April. It was a sold out tour and they've added extra dates. Their front man is out. Their front man and keyboardist is out.
Is it true One Direction to split up as well?
Yeah, they've gone.
Again?
They have.
Yeah. No, they always went. Yeah.
They lost one, didn't they? One guy left.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole lot of...
The guy who could sing.
Oh, the
guy,
rest of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The guy who could sing. So,
oh, what a shame.
That's going to leave a hole in my life.
all these endings.
We're the wrong generation, aren't
all these
we?
Endings.
No, never mind. It was like when Take That split up.
Who's that?
Don't say that now, Steph.
Beach Boys.
Oh, that's more like it.
Yeah. I don't know. Cool.
So the details are on the website, and also just a notice for our listeners that they can post their own events on the website as well. It's really easy to do.
Yes.
So if you've got something that wants publicising, by all means, get on there.
Yeah, do. And we do keep a good eye on it, especially when we're coming up to see the events for that week's show. So we get them on early so that we've got them, and we'll try and get them on the radio for you.
Yeah, we'll get you on and talk about it. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget that's shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Yes, indeed. New domain.
RS.
All there.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Cool. Thank you very much, Lucy.
No worries.
Hi, we're Dr. Mika, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, I like that. Bit of dancey stuff for you there.
It is. I think we need to dance now. You've opened the window.
No, I haven't yet. I got
born in the Arctic.
I got the. It's hot in here. There's no aircon working, is there?
That's because Ivan and Nat have just walked in. That's
oh,
why
right. Oh,
here.
I see. Yes, you are right. Oh, no, you're that way. There you go.
Yeah,
so
I was just going to say, you're a polar bear, aren't you, really? That's what it is. That's
who,
why
me?
Yeah, get the windows open, that Arctic blast coming
I
in.
I got the shutter halfway up and then realised there was 10 seconds of music left and I needed to sit back down again. So I haven't opened them. Shall I just look?
You've broken them now.
That's it. Oh, well, never mind. Okay, should we just... Where's your jingle? No, we're not doing you next. I don't know why you're here. We got the interview next.
Oh, have we?
Yes.
Oh,
is it all the news?
You throw me,
Mr. You're
Milk.
Sat down. Yes.
Oh, I was ready to go.
No, you'll throw me times out if you do that. Now, this week, Cheryl Morgan spoke to Stuart Milk, who's the nephew of Harvey Milk, the first openly gay person to be elected in public office in California, when he won a seat on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1978, which was 37 years ago. He was assassinated later that same year, and his life was subject to... was the subject of a biopic called Milk in 2008, you might remember. It's hoped that Stuart will be able to join us for some of LGBT History Month next month, which would be great if we can get him on. But in the meantime, Cheryl managed to catch up with him, so have a listen to this.
Hello, Stuart. Thank you for joining me here. I guess we should start by talking about your Uncle Harvey, because that is where everything started. And you were a teenager when he was first elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors and then a year later assassinated. That must have been a very powerful experience for a young man.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a loss on two different levels. He was my my touchstone, not only to my own authenticity, but really my moral compass. So I lost really the person that I had in my family that I could talk to about anything. And then this other personality I lost, there's no one my age, younger or older, who was alive at the time that was who's LGBT or has an LGBT family member that was not impacted by his assassination and his prolific prediction that he would be assassinated. So, you know, I lost a family member, one of my immediate close family members, but I also lost a member of the larger LGBT family of the two or three leaders we had in the U.S. at the time.
There were a lot of protests that happened in the States after the assassination and after the ridiculous sentence that was passed on the man who killed him. One of the things I found quite interesting was the fact that you had a mass coming out day.
Well, you know, one of the things that I don't know if we've done a great job of telling historically is that the day after my uncle was killed, huge numbers of people came out. Including myself publicly, really just very, very large numbers that we had not seen before. And then we call the what happened a year later, a day before what would have been my uncle's 49th birthday, the verdict of not guilty of murder in the first, second, or third degree, or manslaughter in the first degree. That not guilty verdict was what we call the fourth bullet, because it really said that, you know, if you do something harmful to someone who doesn't fit into the mainstream culture, that it's okay. And, you know, I think it was a wake-up call on our justice system. I was in the courtroom when they played Dan White's confession. And when Dan White said, "I'm a good Irish Catholic former police officer and I killed a gay," the jury cried, but not for my uncle. All 12 of them cried for Dan White. And I think that that said something. And this is San Francisco. And I think that it said something about where society was. So, you know, we're talking about LGBT History Month. That's part of global LGBT history. I think it's important that we remember these were 12 jury members handpicked by both the prosecutor and the defense. They represented San Francisco at the time. Even people who, you know, in the documentary that we're going to show, I believe, at some of the LGBT History Month events, you know, it talks about someone who knew my uncle very well. At the end of that documentary, he says, you know, if I hadn't met Harvey and I heard that a gay was killed, I would say, what's the big deal? And that's the visibility piece. That's my uncle's message, that without visibility, we are constantly on the agenda of being attacked.
Of course, he has given us visibility. Tragic that it should have taken his death to do so. But on the back of that, we now have in California Harvey Milk Day, where young people in schools are actually taught LGBT history.
Yes. And that was signed. It was, by the way, so the little interesting history I'm only telling your listeners about. We passed legislation twice in 2008 and 2009. 2008, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was governor, the Terminator, he's a Republican. He vetoed it, saying that Harvey was important, but only important to San Francisco. And then in the year between that and bring the legislation up again, Harvey won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest civilian honor. We had Harvey inducted into the California Hall of Fame. The movie Milk won Best Oscar for the screenwriter and for Sean Penn. And we went back to Arnold with the help of his wife, Maria Shriver. We don't know what she did behind closed doors, but he did sign the legislation. And so now we've had 6 years of Harvey Milk Day as a state holiday, and Harvey being taught in the schools.
So Harvey is one of the few people ever to have defeated the Terminator.
No, well, we say we brought him in and collaborated. We don't say we defeated him.
Fair enough. You mentioned the Medal of Freedom. You've been to the White House on a number of occasions now. How is President Obama? Do you get to chat to him and his family at all?
Yeah, in fact, we've got a couple of our key folks from the Harvey Milk Foundation with us, and they've been to the White House as well. Andrea Bonfi from Italy and Miriam Richter, who's our education director and general counsel. The White House has done more for President Obama and his administration. Really, you know, there's a term about the Clinton presidency being Bill Clinton being the black president. Well, Obama's really the gay president in terms of LGBT rights. I mean, he has done more for LGBT rights in the U.S. and abroad than we could have ever have imagined. And it was something that he promised. You know, in 2009, both him, both President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama said to me in the White House, "We will get this done." And I said, "Well, what is this?" And she said, "We will change the landscape for LGBT people and we'll do it together." And that has come true.
They have an amazing record. You've got the Matthew Shepard Hate Crime Act. You've got the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You've got the shooting down of the Defense of Marriage Act. And you've got the word transgender being used in the State of the Union address. So they've really done a great job here. I'm just wondering whether that has happened because it's time, or whether it took a president who really understood what it meant to be hated by the right wing?
Well, I think it's both. The president deserves, and his administration deserves, a lot of credit. But the key mover of society in the U.S. and abroad is the average young LGBT person who simply says, "I'm not going to hide who I am." They have the difficult kitchen table conversation with their parents. It's the young person on a school ground who stands up against bullying, either for themselves or bullying on someone else. It is the person in the boardroom who, instead of joining into the sneers and snickers towards a trans person, says, "Wait a second, this is wrong. And let me tell you why it's wrong." It's those people who have really changed. And marriage equality is a big reason for that happening, because you don't go to a marriage tolerance celebration. You go to a celebration. You're not tolerating people. You're celebrating. You're having champagne and you're enjoying yourself. And the great thing about our current modern society is that social media picks up on all that. So when a young person comes out, when a young person stands up for someone, we can now see that on social media.
Now, you've been all around the world campaigning for LGBT rights. So you've faced down neo-Nazis in Budapest. You've faced down Islamic fundamentalists in Turkey. In all of your travels, where do you think the real areas are that people need to work hard for LGBT rights?
Well, I think we've got to realize that as far as we've come in the West, most of the world is still very dark for LGBT people. Some places it's a little better for the LG and B, and not great for the T. And we actually have a few places where the transgender community has moved ahead of their lesbian, gay, and bisexual brothers and sisters. The scariest part to me is when you look at Hungary or you look at the Baltics, you look at people who want to take us backwards. You look at places that have repealed their civil union law. You look at places that are economically challenged, and you have parties like the Golden Dawn Party in Greece and the National Front in France and the Jobbik Party in Hungary, and they want to take away rights, not just of, by the way, LGBT people, but it's an old shopping list. Roma's there, Jews are there, women are there. I mean, if you added up everyone who's on their shopping list, it's really the majority of people. But we have to remember history. So I'm on your show with you today, Cheryl, because of LGBT History Month. www.lgbthistorymonth.org.uk is the website. And that's really important, that that folks are learning about history, both the history that we've all made together. Anyone alive today has made history. Anyone who's been through the last 5 years has made incredible history. But we also need to learn about those who came before us.
We have a lot of listeners who have family in the Caribbean, even listeners in the Caribbean. And that traditionally has been quite a hostile area to LGBT people. But this year we had the first Jamaican Pride. Have you had any contact with LGBT groups in that area?
Yes, I've met Jamaican activists. Life is very, very hard for LGBT in Jamaica, in Trinidad. It's still illegal. In Trinidad, for instance, I had a conversation with the prime minister who said, "Well, we don't enforce the law." Well, then why have the law? well, we got it from the British and we've kept everything we got from the British. I said, you've kept everything you had from the British. So we have on the books in a lot of the former Commonwealth countries or current Commonwealth countries, these archaic laws. And so in Trinidad, there are LGBT life, but it's all hidden because even though no one's been arrested in 10 years, the threat is still there. It's still on the books. We've got to change that. We've got to change the dynamics. We've got to teach people in Jamaica and throughout the rap world that rapping against trans people and rapping against gays and lesbians is not a good thing. And it's not life affirming, and it's not life affirming for them. We have a lot more education to do.
Oh, thank you very much for talking to me, Stuart.
Hi, this is Bethany Black, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right, I'll give you 50 quid if you can do that rap.
My ears couldn't even keep up with that, let alone me mouth.
God dear. I was listening thinking, oh dear, I didn't check this track to see if it's got any swearing. I can't understand a word he's saying when he's rapping, let alone anything. I like the song though. That's one of your H&H tracks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in my playlist, yes.
If you're listening on one of the other stations, not BCFM, Steph does, you do a show here, don't you?
Called, I do. And it's on Monday.
High heels.
The low point, the 18th. So it's not going to be a low point. No. All you need to do is tune in at 10 on Monday. Yeah. And Ivan's joining me.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Yes. Oh, well, no.
I have my weather and traffic girl back.
Yes, I'm back for the next few weeks. Yes. Can't wait.
Make sure your attire is correct.
Your attire. Well, I need a fur at the moment. It's freezing here now. We've got the window. My teeth are chattering. I don't know how to do the news, to be honest.
Put them back in your mouth then.
Do you want me to close the window?
Oh, that would be lovely.
He's left his teeth on the table. Whether they're cold.
It came in too early. It warmed the room up. That's what it was.
I know. I got confused.
Hello, Matt. You sat there very quiet.
Hello, yeah.
Why can't I hear you?
Don't know.
Natalie's coming in loud and clear for me.
Number 4.
Yeah, number 4, but you're on. And there we go. So hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's hello, Nat.
Look.
Hello.
They're looking down at us.
Oh. Don't worry, those headphones need to be cancelling out something because you're talking and I can hear the music, but not you talking.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think
that
we've gone
in a bit abrupt.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone into the red.
Yes. Anyway, it's news time, isn't it? So let's do this.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 14th of January.
Reggie Yates' acclaimed programme series on extreme societies and points of view has received a huge boost from transferring from BBC's youth TV network, BBC Three, to its flagship channel, BBC One, on Tuesday of last week. Reggie's hard-hitting programme looked at the taboo issue of homophobia and transphobia in the African, Caribbean and Asian communities. Often gay and trans groups are reluctant to discuss the issue in detail for fear of being seen to be racist. However, in amongst the problems highlighted, Reggie also met black and Asian LGBT people, redefining the intersections between culture, religion, race and sexuality.
There's been fun for the watchers of the weirder conspiracy theories on the web this week, as an Indian student has published the latest exploits of the dastardly gay agenda. According to reports on the Newswire, Gay Star News and others, the student, Amit Maurer, has written several strange articles about homosexuality before and seems to have a fixation with the issue. This week he revealed that gay professors and moderators at exam boards were helping LGBT students pass their exams so they can gain influence in society. Maurer claims that his life is in danger from the sinister gay conspiracy. The university where he studies in Mumbai have quietly denied his allegations, and the internet has erupted in humour at his claims.
Fault lines have erupted in the international communist movement over the position of the Greek Communist Party, the KKE, on gay partnerships legislation. Communism as a political current is small in Britain, and there are around 6 tiny competing parties vying for the mantle of the official Communist Party. However, in Greece, the ideology still attracts supporters and fields many candidates in parliamentary elections. The KKE opposed gay partnerships legislation, and this week was trying to defend its position via letters in the left-wing press. arguing that homosexuality was merely a sexual expression, whereas heterosexuality was essential for child rearing and needed protection from the state. Bloggers on the gay internet said that the issue was a salutary reminder that opposition to gay emancipation can come from across the political spectrum and not just the usual suspects of right-wing and neo-Nazi parties.
Tributes from across the LGBT community have been paid to David Bowie, who died on Monday at the age of 69. Bowie had been battling cancer for around 18 months. In a career that spanned five decades, he had a profound effect on public attitudes and popular culture. At various times, he publicly identified as politically gay and later as bisexual. According to his first wife, he had a relationship with Mick Jagger at one point, although later in his career, Mr. Bowie said that he never had been gay nor bi. Even so, with his androgynous look through the 70s and his flamboyant embraces of other male musicians on primetime television, David Bowie did much to challenge gender roles and inspired several generations of artists and activists.
The Terence Higgins Trust, which is the UK's largest HIV charity, wants to know which of you and your friends is the greatest tosser. They have decided that this Pancake Day, that is, Shrove Tuesday on the 9th of February, will be their national toss-off day. Supporters will be holding pancake dinner parties to mark the event, to gather friends round and to raise money for the Trust, which has its roots in the LGBT community and has been supplying services in Bristol since it merged with the Allard Richard Trust in 2000. THT is no stranger to cheeky events to raise awareness and funds. Some years ago, it actually held a sponsored Master Beta-thon for supporters. This event, however, in spite of its name, is definitely limited to pancake tossing. Google Toss-Off Day to get the website.
For these exciting news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Natalie.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, I'm Morgan James, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
I have no idea how you managed to do that and keep a straight
That's
face.
Utter professionalism. Top of the game, Nat.
That's because it's radio and not TV, you see.
Anyway, here he is. This is a man himself. This is Mr. Bowie.
The Shout Out Podcast.
David Bowie and A Life on Mars. True classic, that one, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I love it. One of my faves.
Were you a David Bowie fan as
well?
Oh,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. He was responsible for all the kids wearing makeup at school, actually.
Yeah.
That was the boys.
Made beer for more better about going out with makeup on.
Yeah, exactly.
Ivan, I believe you've recently come back from the Canaries.
Yeah, not
right?
too recently. Just a couple of months ago, actually.
Was it?
But I managed to talk to a fantastic entertainment troupe while I was out there, and they were enormous fun, and they're coming over here to Bristol as well. Have a listen.
Oh.
Well, I'm here on the beautiful subtropical island of Tenerife, and I've just sat through a fantastic evening of highly camp drag cabaret, thanks to the Music Hall Tavern. And here with me right now are the leaders of the troupe, Mrs. T and Peggy Lee. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you for talking to me. Now, how long has the Music Hall Tavern, or I guess you call yourselves MHT, how long have you been going?
We've been going for 20 years now.
20 years? Because you've become an absolute institution on the islands, haven't you?
Well, yeah, eventually it's got there. Yeah, it's taken a lot of work, but we've got there eventually. 20 years of a hard slog.
And you've got packed houses every night, it seems.
Yeah, we're just packed out. Yeah, that's fabulous.
Well, tell me a little bit about the show, Mrs. T. What's it all about?
It's all about the funniest night of your holiday, and that's exactly what we try to deliver when you're here. We're currently in Lanzarote, Fuerteventura, Gran Canaria, and of course here in Tenerife. And like I said, that's it. We just deliver the funniest night of your holiday.
Because it's really going back to the roots, isn't it, of musical entertainment, but with a sort of a highly camp drag twist to it, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. That's what we started out with like 20 years ago, as Peggy just said. We wanted the sort of like a camp working men's club, and it turned into sort of like a camp working men's club. with a dinner.
I know. It was a lovely dinner as well, too. And you know what? I also lost count of the number of costume changes you had this evening. Yeah. It was amazing.
I think it was about 37.
37.
Yeah, something like
over
that.
Over a couple of hours. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. And you know what also I notice is, because, you know, when often people go and see drag shows, a lot of it is mimed, but you actually sing live for a very large part of the performance as well, don't you? So
yeah, we do. We try to do as much live as we can, and obviously twist it with parodies as well. You know, as you saw, like with our little tribute to Morrison's.
I know. It was brilliant. And you're not just lining your own pockets either as well, are you? Because you are donating money to charity as well.
Yeah, we are. We do raise money for cancer charities. Matt Millen in the UK being our principal charity, and then smaller charities after that. Yeah.
And so how much money are you managing to raise?
We've raised up to now over €100,000 and donated it to cancer charities.
And that goes back to the UK, does it, for the most part?
Yeah, that's, we donate it all back to the UK.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, I know you perform all over the Canary Islands, but I know you're going to be repeating a huge UK and Ireland tour for the third time, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
When's that going to be happening?
It starts on the 3rd of February 2016 and goes right the way through until Easter Sunday.
Now, I've had a look down the list of the places. In fact, is there anywhere in the UK you're not going? Because I counted 35 cities, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Over a two-month period.
Over a two-month period, yeah.
And most importantly, of course, you're coming to Bristol.
We most certainly are.
And I know that's on the 13th of March at the Redgrave Theatre.
That's right.
So if people want to come and see you, how can they book?
Well, simply going on to www.musichalltavern.com/UK, and you'll see a list of all the theatres there, and of course Bristol will pop up there on that date, and then just simply click on that and it goes straight through to the theatre's website.
And if people want to follow you on Twitter or Facebook, have you got a Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/musichalltavern, or Twitter is @ Music Hall Tavern.
Well, that's brilliant, ladies. Thank you so much for talking to me today, and I wish you all the best with your UK and Ireland tour.
It's been fabulous having you with us tonight.
Hi, this is Bethany Black, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Shout Out Podcast.
There you go.
That's beautiful, isn't
that
it?
That is... That's a lovely film. Well, it's Postmodern Jukebox. Can you say that? Because it's only Scott on his own.
Well, yeah, it's Scott Bradley. Postmodern Jukebox is his group, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. They do some brilliant songs. They do. What would you say their style is? They kind of remix modern songs with
they make modern songs sound old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we play
modern songs sound old.
That's what he said. Yeah, it seems
I like that. They nostalgise the modern.
Oh, that's a good word.
Nostalgise.
Oh, I'm liking that, mate.
I made that up.
So check them out. They're on YouTube, and you can also buy all their tracks on iTunes as well, because I pretty much bought every album they got.
Are you on commission?
No, I'm not. No, I should be, shouldn't I? So, anyway, hello, Mary and Mitch.
Hello.
How
good
are
evening,
you
girls.
Hello.
Are you sitting lower than normal? Because you all seem, except for Ivan, who's sitting up.
He's tall.
You two seem very low in your seats. Well, is your tall. Seat
He's
collapsed
tall.
Like mine?
I don't think so.
Hang on. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, look, I'm taller now.
Oh,
great.
Mary's taller than me. I feel like...
I keep doing that with mine, but it keeps collapsing.
For those of you listening at home, we've got those chairs that go up and down on a gas thing.
I have a gas leak.
You have a gas leak.
Steph is slowly decreasing in size. Though.
Changing the subject back to Mr. Bowie, I said top of show that Mary had some info about Martin's show, isn't it?
Yeah, Martin's Spellis' show, who does the nostalgia show on Saturdays at 12.
Yeah.
He's got Bowie's biographer on. He's got an interview with him on Saturday.
Interesting.
Who was also the advisor on the V&A exhibition for Bowie. His name's Nick Pegg, so there's an exclusive interview with him on Saturday.
So
well worth tuning in for if you're a Bowie fan, or if you just want to know more about him.
Hmm. So it was kind of a little bit before my time, but you guys are all real big fans of it.
We're all older than you.
Yeah. Older than you.
They say we're significantly older.
I only do shout out to feel young.
They say if you were a teenager in the 70s, you will definitely.
Well, I'm just trying to picture you with makeup at school.
Well,
mate.
No, do you know what? I wasn't joking about that actually, because it was a boys' school, and the kids used to sort of come in with their bits of their hair dyed and everything, and it was because of him basically, yes. And then latterly, Gary Newman.
Was it that they kind of led into kind of all the punk stuff where they were spiking their hair up and
not so much punk, but
he was an individual, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was that glam rock time, wasn't it? Because I was a real Mark Bolan fan, and it was all tied up with the Ziggy Stardust stuff, and I got the feather cut and I shaved my eyebrows and dyed my hair. And
only recently stopped dyeing your hair. I mean, that lasted for years.
It did last.
I remember when we first started presenting, every week your hair changed colour.
It was, yeah. But what I really enjoyed about Bowie as well is that whole challenge that he presented for the world at a time when no one else was, I mean, Mark Bolan had the long hair and everyone was going, oh, is he a boy or girl? And that whole, and even
there was
the
a
lyrics,
lot of androgyny, wasn't there?
Yeah, with Gene Genie and, even the lyrics that, can't tell if you're a boy or girl. And I just loved that difference that he gave people permission to be different, and I really liked that.
He was interviewed several times about his sexuality and on different occasions said something different.
Which is great. Have any of you heard his new album? Because he released it just before he passed away.
Yeah,
didn't
on his 69th birthday, wasn't it?
Black Star,
it was
I think it's called, isn't it?
It's a long goodbye, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be. But apparently he actually had another one in the ready to go out as well. So I don't know whether
really?
That's... Yeah, he was planning an album after that, so... Oh. I don't know whether it is a long goodbye. I guess that's, you could argue about that, really.
Well, but, perhaps he didn't know how long he would make it for.
I think
well,
he's,
I know on
he's quite optimistic, wasn't he? Kept
I know
working.
On Spotify, his the number of plays he went up by 2,800 and something percent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. it's number one on iTunes, that album, I think.
Is
moment.
It?
Yeah.
Doesn't all surprise me.
I know, I certainly got out every Bowie record I had and played it. The other day,
I
downloaded just about every video he had produced as well. 51 videos he put out
did
his lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's quite a lot. Can I just say something very quickly as well? But apart from him being an LGBT icon, he was one of the first people to tackle racism on TV as well, actually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
there was MTV? Wasn't
he interviewed somebody on MTV with a very nasty perm, but that aside, MTV...
Is it the 80s, wasn't it?
It was in 83, and MTV only started in 81, and he basically pulled them up for not playing any black music on the show at all.
He asked them pointedly, didn't he?
He did.
Where are all the black faces on MTV?
Right. And the guy being interviewed made some rather dubious comments.
He basically said our audience would be too scared by that.
Yes, our audience
we don't
would
want
be horrified
to scare our audience.
Yes, by
even though we're happy to use black influenced music.
Yes, exactly.
We're not going to represent them.
So I think he was somebody for all people. I think definitely
he was, and I remember
quite a profound effect then.
He
wasn't
did,
it?
You know, so. he did that interview in with Paxman, didn't he, and talked about the. Internet and the impact of the internet, and he was very philosophical.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Do check out our website if you want to catch this show again, or if you'd like to grab a podcast,
or if you're running an event and want to tell us, you can now post it directly on the site yourself. Just go to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
We'll be back next week when I have some news for you about the next coming After Dark show, so do join us for that live from 7, but from myself and the team, say bye bye everyone.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.